forecast. He knew the weather is going to be hot the next few days, and that's not the time he wants to be on a tractor. And I don't want him on a tractor when it's 100 degrees out there either. But I felt bad for him because he started cutting it, and it started raining on him. And I'm like, uh-oh, he's going to quit. But he toughed it out, and he did me a huge favor and got both my spots done. I was able to watch him on my WiseEye cameras because every time he drove in front of it, snapped pictures on my phone. I felt like I was there with him.
You didn't catch me peeing, did you?
Well, I was just going to say on the air when I caught you.
Camel boots on my feet.
Oh, God.
Bow in my hand. Walking in the early dawn to climb the
Redbone, what would you say if I could tell you that you could kill a buck on a certain day?
I would say you're crazy. There's no way to predict how the bucks are going to move.
Well, you're wrong. There's a new camera out called WiseEye Technologies. These guys can predict the actual deer movement, exact time that a deer is going to come through.
Really? WiseEye Technology?
This camera has 5-megapixel pictures, has a GPS system built inside, and it's an experience using this camera. It collects data and tells you the movement, wind direction, everything.
On a camera?
On a camera. WiseEyeTechnologies.com.
And how do I find out more information about these guys?
You go to WiseEyeSmartCam.com. I'm using them. You should, too. Make your hunt easier.
Welcome back to American Roots Outdoors. We're calling via phone from my lodge, my cabin, and Wayne is on the phone from my lodge here in front of my house. And Wayne Locke is on the phone via phone on his way to West Plains. And we've got another great show lined up for you. But I want to say before we get into the title of our show and what we're going to talk about, is what a great show we had last week with Jake Eddington getting signed with the Philadelphia Phillies, Redbone Wayne.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see now, you know, how long this process takes for him to reach the big leagues, because it is a process. And, you know, normally about 5 years, but, you know, you never know. Some guys just excel through that. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to touching base with him, like, in a year or two to see if the experience is what he thought it was going to be, or, you know, what was unexpected that he had no idea was coming.
Yeah, I think, great answers, great responses, but we're very proud of this young man. But that being said, we're switching gears, and this show is going to be a three-part series. And what we're going to be talking about in the next three shows is food plotting. And the first topic is preparation, selecting the sites to set up food plots. And, you know, it's that time of year, Redbone Wayne. Here it is, the middle of July, third week of July. And most people here in the Midwest and up north, they usually start planting in August to the end of August. Some people even plant in September. Wayne?
Yeah, I would say, you know, really, people say, oh, I got to plant the third week of, you know, August, or I got to plant the second week of September. And, you know, we've been saying for the last few years, don't set a calendar. You know, look at your weather and based off the weather. If you got rain coming, you may want to plant 2 weeks earlier than what you normally did.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. You got to kind of work around the weather, especially as crazy as the weather has been in the Ozarks and really across the country. I mean, you know, and we're recording on Tuesday this week, and we got showers and thunderstorms. We had showers and thunderstorms Monday night, and then, you know, Wednesday is supposed to be maybe the hottest day of the summer so far. So wow. The weather has been so crazy across all of our region that really when you sit down and look at it, you know, I think you got to get everything, as you said, Alex, before we're going to talk about today, you need to get your spots picked and everything prepared. I'd even get the seed and fertilizer and all that stuff. I'd get that all set in the barn ready to go. And then when you get 3 or 4 days when it looks like it's not going to rain and you can stand to be out on a tractor because, you know, it's not 100 degrees, probably be a good idea to get things in the ground. But anyway, tough
stuff. Yeah, Redbone, you bring up a good point because, like, Alex today, he sent me a message because my brush hog is broke, and he's like, hey, I'll brush hog your fields for you today. You know, just if you can, let's do it today while it's cool, because knowing that he looked at the forecast, he knew the weather is going to be hot the next few days, and that's not the time he wants to be on a tractor. And I don't want him on a tractor when it's 100 degrees out there either. But I felt bad for him because he started cutting it and it started raining on him, and I'm like, uh-oh, he's gonna quit. But he toughed it out, and he did me a huge favor and got both my spots done. I was able to watch him on my Wiseye cameras, because every time he drove in front of it, snapped pictures of my phone. I felt like I was there with him.
You didn't catch me peeing, did you?
Well, I was not going to say on the air what I caught you, but, you know, hey.
I hope not.
Yeah, it might be a good idea.
All your food plots.
You've got to watch those cameras. They're hard to see, Alex. I'm telling you that.
I was going to say, to avoid things like that, you might want to let people know where those Wiseye cameras are if they're coming to do stuff in your field.
Well, anyway.
Boys will be boys.
One of the show, and we've got a few more minutes left here. I want to say, you know, preparation. When you think of preparation for food plots, the first thing that I want to think of is, all right, what farms am I planting food plots on? You know, what type of food plots do I want to plant? And these locations, do I need to work on these locations? Do I need to bring a skid steer in, front-end loader to clear and flatten out these spots? Or do I already have my locations open? So that's something to take into account to think about. The secret to good food plots is having a good topsoil. Wayne, I've got good news and bad news for you after bush hogging day. Some of it I could bush hog, some I couldn't. And some of your food plots back there, we're going to have to get L&P Iron and Dirtworks in here to help you move some of that topsoil around so your food plots can grow better.
Oh, yeah. Where they cleared it last year with the big bulldozer, you know, I got a lot of rock problems up there. So I was very limited in where I could plant on that last plot. I can't wait till it looks like other three plots, and the rocks are out of the way. But I tell you what, even though there was all those rocks there, Alex, and I didn't get a chance to do a lot of fertilizing this spring there, I was very pleased with how the Eagle Seed Summer Blend that I had planted last year came back up this year.
On top of rocks.
Yeah, they're on top of rocks. Right. I mean, there were deer in there every day. There were deer in there, and it was really nice.
Well, there was topsoil along with those rocks.
And yeah.
That's an awesome statement, and to you know, share with people of how the product will grow even during really rocky soil. And that being said, we're going to talk more about preparation. We're going to talk about selecting the right spots and why we select these spots. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about American roots and food plotting. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more right after this.
Hi, everybody. This is Aaron Tippin, and you're listening to my old buddy Alex Rutledge with American Roots Outdoors and Good Friends.
Hunting off the farm, wishing on some love. I've been on a big boy for a while. I can load him in the back of my truck. We can take it to a holler.
Hey, Redbone, did you hear about that new deer feed?
What new deer feed?
Hey, Buck Grits, boys, you ain't heard of that yet?
Buck Grits?
BuckGrits.com.
Well, tell us about it. What makes it better than any other deer feed?
Well, Buck Grits has got the protein a deer needs, it's got the fat a deer needs, it's got the amino acids, it's got the energy, it's got it all, brother. It's going to bring them back after the rut, and it's going to put a rack on their head.
And it's going to help the lactating does, I assume, too, after they have the fawns.
That's right. Keep the fawns going and get them for the next crop.
Well, where can I get Buck Grits?
BuckGrits.com. You can get a sample, you can order it directly from the website, and we're coming to a retailer near you.
If you want to help a deer herd, use Buck Grits.
Across the creek of a big old hill, year after year, got my hunting gear.
Wanted the Ammunition presents. Welcome back to American Reach Outdoor, segment two of our show. Three-part series, three shows we're going to line up for the next 3 weeks, helping our listeners and share with them our techniques, our strategies, what we do in planting food plots. The first part of this show, the whole show, is talking about preparation. And I know you've got a question, Redbone, so kick it off.
I do have a question. Here's my question. If someone is considering putting in food plots, all right, they maybe have never had food plots before. Maybe they've had little food plots, whatever the case may be. So here's my question to you. Should you put your food plots, I think I know the answer, but I think it's a good place to start. Should you put your food plots in areas where you already know that you have deer, or should you put those food plots in an area to attract deer, and will the deer find them and come to them? So it's kind of a two-part question, but I know a lot of people, You know, say, well, I've already got deer on my farm. I don't need food plots. But there's others say, well, I don't have any deer. Won't be any good to put a food plot. So what's your take on that, Alex?
Okay. First of all, I think that's a great question, by the way, two-part question. First of all, if you've got deer on your property, the purpose of putting food plots there, whether you're a farmer growing clover, fescue, orchard grass, whatever it may be, alfalfa, it doesn't hurt to put other food plots. Because I'm telling you, deer are a lot like humans. They get tired of eating the same thing. They change their diets. So that's one good answer for that is to, yeah, if you got locations already, go back in there and plant great products like Eagle Seed, the summer blend, the fall blends, smorgasbord. That's what we do. And the reason we do that, the smorgasbord, it has such a variety of annuals and perennials, right?
Yeah, I agree. And one of the things I would add to that is your property, you're saying you already have deer on it. Why do I need to put a food plot in? If your property is mainly woods, I'm telling you right now, unless you have acorns on the ground, those deer are just passing through. They're going to a food plot. They're going to a food source. So why let them go to your neighbor's house? Put the food source on your property so they'll bed on your property. They'll eat on your property, and if you have a water hole, they're going to drink on your property. You need to bring them and keep them on your property, not just make your wooded area pass through.
Exactly. Great answer. So a two-part question, you know, I think we answered it pretty well.
Yeah, the first part. Now, what about the second part?
You've got alfalfa and you've got other stuff, doesn't mean you shouldn't plant food plots. There's another reason to plant food plots. Planting food plots and planting something new they've never had before, it will draw them from maybe a huge field, which makes it tougher to put the hit on that particular buck you're hunting. You make smaller killer plots, will attract them and makes it more predictable. And how do you know you make it more predictable? You set the WiseEye cameras up that monitor and collects data and tells you what's coming and going in those food plots. So you actually take from a big alfalfa field or a huge food plot and put in these smaller 100 yards by 100 yards, those are killing plots. Makes it easier.
Yeah, and I guess that answers the second part of the question, which is, will, if I put a food, you know, kind of a, if you build it, they will come. And I think that's what some people struggle with. Well, if I go through the expense and all the work putting in a food plot, will the deer find it? And the answer is, yes, they will.
Yes, they will. They smell it. Each mm-hmm. plant throws off a different scent, just like a french fries, mushrooms, broccoli, cauliflower, if you deep fry it, they all throw off a different smell. And these deer smell that, and they're attracted to the smells, just like you and I are to foods. Wayne?
Yeah, I would agree 100% with you. And one of the things that you can keep in mind is, and I'm going to go off an experience I had here there in Ohio, and that is, my neighbor, they planted corn all the time. They had big, huge cornfields, so the deer always went out there. And so when I finally got permission from the landowner that I was at to put in a small plot, and I'm talking small, it was only about 75 yards in length, 40 yards wide. It was more of a strip. I put in clover and soybeans mixture. And I tell you what, those deer stopped at me before they went out to the cornfield. So I changed the routine of the deer by putting a plot in that they wanted to stop at because it was secluded. It was surrounded by woods. They weren't out in the big open fields where everybody can be seen. And everybody knows big bucks, when do they hit those big open fields? Either right at dusk or right after dusk. So they had a stopping point before they went to the big field because I put in a small plot that was something different than what the neighbor had.
Great strategy. Just what we touched on.
Yeah.
Sizing killer plots. You know, you can break it down to large food plots. And think about this, and we're talking about selecting a site. If you've got a 200-acre farm, and say 90% of your farm is timber, and in the middle of the farm, and we encourage everybody to always plant in the middle of your farm, and that's going to be your attractant plot. That's going to be the plot that holds the deer, makes the deer come. And what we do here at America Ridge, what I've done for years, and I've been sharing it, and Wayne's using it on his property, we have a huge, big plot to attract them, and we put a food plot to the north, south, east, and west between us and the neighbors, which are killing plots. We hunt mainly the killing plots over the attractant plot. So think about that. So you can select different food plots, killing plots, according to the wind. And using your WiseEye data cams, it can tell you which plots you need to hunt by the data it collects. The wind direction, when's the best time to be there. You can actually take 5 photos of a particular buck and create a folder within WiseEye's data cam on their app and name that buck, and it will collect data on that buck for you. It's called photo recognition. That's pretty neat, Wayne Redbone.
Yeah, I would agree.
Go ahead, what, Redbone?
Well, I was going to say, we just got about a minute left here in this segment. And, when you start talking about selecting the areas where you want to put your food plot, which is kind of what we're talking about today, Alex, I think having woods on all 4 sides, I mean, in essence, you could hunt that particular food plot if it's not too large, depending on the wind, which side you want to hunt, as long as you've got access to get in to all 4 sides.
Yeah, that's a good opinion. We're going to talk more in depth here after we get back from the break about strategies of planting these food plots, why we plant them north, south, east, and west. And in the middle, that's the attractant plot. That's the plot that we have very little pressure on in the middle of the property. And we're going to tell you some of our tricks that I've been using for years to help keep them there. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more American Reach Outdoors right after this message.
Hey, this is Eddie Salter, and you listen to American Roots and Outdoors with Alex Rutledge and friends.
And my old pair of hunting boots passed on down, planted deep in the ground around your heart, so you never gotta worry.
Hey guys, it's food plot planting time here in the Ozarks and all across the country. What are you planting this year, Wayne?
I'm going to put some smorgasbord in with a whole lot of clover.
You're going to put some extra clover in it.
What? Smorgasbord? What is smorgasbord?
Man, it is a variety of annuals and perennials that'll get you through fall time, winter time, and all the way into spring.
It's awesome. You want to plant healthier food plots to track all kinds of game? Go to www.eagleseed.com. It's a smorgasbord. You know, we all get tired of certain things. The smorgasbord has everything. Your deer will love it. Eagleseed.com.
American Roots.
Eagle Seed presents. Welcome back to American Roots, segment 3 of the show. I'm standing here at our cabin, our lodge, and it's raining here in Birch Tree, Missouri. I just came out from Wayne Locke's property, a bush hog, and all of his Eagle Seed food plots and his tractor paths and bush hog some of his yard because he's tore up his lawnmower. And now, what did you tell me, Wayne? You said that these rocks actually grow up out of the ground, didn't you?
I did. I said Missouri. I found that Missouri grows good rocks. We didn't have that in Ohio. We had 3 feet of soil before you could hit a rock or clay. And here I'm finding I have 1 inch of soil and lots of rocks. But the same area that I was cutting this spring, all last year with my mower, never had a rock there. And all of a sudden now this year, boom, hit a rock. We actually, me and my wife went around. We pulled out 18 rocks that last year was not giving us a problem because they were flat even with the soil. And this year they were high enough that the blades were catching it.
Welcome to the Ozarks.
Growing up out of the ground, Wayne?
I think it's
true.
They're growing up out of the ground. They're growing out of the ground. Missouri, that is my biggest crop. My biggest crop this year on my property is rocks.
Redbone?
Yeah, they actually don't grow, Wayne. Let me educate you a little bit. The heat and the cold beneath the surface of the soil will cause those rocks to move up. And when we get hard rains, the soil erodes and uncovers the rocks.
Correct. Yeah. I actually talked to someone today that told me that with the heavy hard winters that we've had, that the frost line has actually been pushing some of these rocks up because it's freezing deeper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, actually, the changes really in the temperatures will make those rocks appear. But anyway, my other question about all that before we get back on subject here is, why does Wayne have tractor paths on his farm? Because his tractor is always broke down.
Oh, my tractor's running good this year. It's been running good this year.
This is segment three, pick on Wayne moment.
Yeah, let's, it's not Wayne.
Lynn Wayne, our tiller, when he first got here, and he tears the deer plum out of it. I give Wayne a lawnmower. Or trade it out. We trade it out, and he tears it up.
Yep.
On a rock.
Well, it should
you
be
see
like
a pattern going on here.
Then I lend him my bush hog spring tooth, and he brings it back, and he broke two of the teeth, lost one of the teeth on it.
Yep.
Wayne, you're learning. It gets expensive, but let me tell you, Wayne paid for fixing everything he broke.
Oh,
everybody.
Yeah, we're just pulling the chain. Yeah. I think you should call
never
him.
Borrow anything and don't fix it.
I think you should call him. What anyway. If Wayne had a tractor pass? Is what you should call him.
All right. So anyway, here we go.
Yeah.
Selecting the right spot. Preparation for your food plots. What we're doing right now, and we talked about it, I went over and mowed Wayne's food plots. I'm going to mow mine first of next week. We're getting our all the grass and the food plots cut down and getting ready to break dirt again. Now, some people like to no-till drill. Some people like to break their dirt with a disc or a spring tooth. What Wayne and I do, I'm speaking for both of us, Wayne. I've got a spring tooth, and I break the dirt every year with a spring tooth. Now, you're thinking, wow, that could be expensive. Yes, it can. But what reason I do that every year is because I know I'm getting fresh seed put back in, and this fresh seed that I'm putting in the ground creates a tenderer vegetation for the deer. And I'm always planting smorgasbord in every food plot for the fall.
Yeah, and Alex,
that's what we do.
Yeah. Now, before you do that, do you spray your fields? I mean, a lot of people like to spray them and kill off all the weeds, or you just bush hog them and then hit them with the spring tooth
we
and then plant.
We have done that. Mm-hmm. Another technique: what people do is they'll mow the fields down really short,
mm-hmm.
and they go in and burn the fields also.
Right.
So. Either way, you can spray them. Really, spray them is the best way, especially if you've got a weed problem.
Right.
That's the best thing to do with Roundup and kill all the weeds and their vegetation. And I believe Young's down in Alt, Missouri, will come and spray your pasture for you.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that might take advantage of that this year.
Yeah, then Ethan Nicholson in Birch Tree, Missouri, he also... has a sprayer. He's been spraying people's food plots and fields with fertilizer also, and he might be able to spray your fields to kill the food plots in the pastures as well. So that is two techniques that you can do, okay? No-till or break or spray, kill them out, or mow really low and burn the fields out. What you want to do, if you're going to burn your food plots, you want to take a tractor with a plow. Plow and cut you a fire line all the way around it.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, all the way around it to keep the fire from getting out. So, but we've never burned our food plots. We always just mow them really close and spray them and kill them out sometimes, or we'll just break the dirt up with that seed that's still there and vegetation there and turn it back under the ground. And believe it or not, some of the clover comes back.
Sure,
when you do that. Yep.
Yeah, I'm sure.
How much you break the dirt.
Yeah.
Well, I agree 100% with the clover coming back, because that one plot, Alex knows this plot number two that's right behind my cabin. Last time I planted clover in that was 2 years ago, because the clover has come back so heavy the last 2 years, and I have not even had to reseed it.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, and that's that. Well, when you create a good stand, you create a good stand too with with the Eagle seed products. And, you know, they've talked about that. We've had the folks from Eagle Seed on before. A lot of times, a lot of that stuff will continue to come back up if taken care of.
Right.
Yeah. Now, the next thing I want to say here, we got a few minutes left before we go to, this is segment three. That's right.
Yeah.
We go to segment four, is you want to check your pH.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have your pH at the right levels for it to actually grow great vegetation. So what we do is we suggest that you get you some Ziploc bags, get you some type of gardening device that you can dig up dirt in the fields that you plant a food plot in, and you take soil samples, say, every 20 feet, get you about 6 samples of that field or that whole field, and put them in separate bags. And what you do, you can have, take and send them to the U.S. Soil and Water, and they will do an evaluation for you to tell you what your dirt or your food plot or field needs. So that's one of the most important things I can tell you after you've mowed or got your food plots ready to break dirt. That's the first thing you want to do. They're going to tell you how much lime you need, what type of fertilizer with what you're planting. And by doing that, you will grow healthier food plots for sure.
Yeah, and kind of before we break, Alex, I was watching a video on that earlier today. And even if you want to break it down a little further, it depends on what you're going to plant. Because some plants like the pH a little different than other plants do. So that also figures into that whole scenario there. We do need to take a break. We'll continue more with American Roots Outdoors right after this.
This is Brenda Valentine, and you're listening to American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge and friends.
Accurate, deadly, dependable, Hornady ammunition. From a two-man operation in 1949 to a world-leading innovator of bullet, ammunition, reloading tool, and accessories design and manufacturer today, Hornady, each piece is hand-inspected to ensure consistency and quality. Ammunition engineered to perform flawlessly, simply put, the best. Hornady ammunition. Find Hornady ammunition at a retailer near you and at Hornady.com.
How many of you are tired of your batteries running out of energy, out of power? Let me tell you about Amped Outdoors. I've changed using the batteries I have had in the past. Amped Outdoors, I have the new 80 amp. 24-volt, single battery, weighs 46 pounds. This thing has produced energy all day long. Tested for 2 days, total use 11 hours. Cannot tell the batteries have even lost any energy. Go to Amped Outdoors if you want to be successful and not run out of power.
They ain't down. We'll be waiting when they hit the ground. Big time coming, it's what we do. From a whippoorwill to an old owl.
Butt Grits presents Welcome Back to American Roots Outdoors, segment 4 of our show. We are doing a 3-part series within 3 shows about food plotting. This first topic of our show this week is preparation, selecting the right spots, the right locations, getting pH samples. Getting your pH to the right levels. And Redbone, you do some research there to make sure we know what we're talking about. You got on the internet, what is the correct level for the pH to grow here in the Midwest or anywhere?
Well, I just did a search for the Ozarks, and the correct balance for pH in the Ozarks is between 5.5 and 7.5. It says, so every effort should be taken to check soil pH levels regularly. But that's what they recommend, between 5.5 and 7.5.
Wayne?
Yeah, that's good knowledge to have. And you talked about, you can take it to your conservation office, your water and soil department, and they'll check it for you. But one of the things that we've always stressed, and when we have our guest on from Eagle Seed, that he stresses, that is, when you get those results, just call them up. Tell them what the results were, and they will tell you what you need to do. What they're going to ask you, what do you want to plant? What are you trying to attract? And they'll tell you with your results what you need to do to your soil to grow what you're trying to plant.
Mm-hmm.
Because depending if you're planting clover, sunflowers, smorgasbord, winter wheat, it's going to change on what you're going to want to put down in your soil. And that's great knowledge to have. A base like that where you can call Eagle Seed up and say, here's my results, help me out, and they are more than happy to help you.
Yes, sir. And to contact Eagle Seed, it's www.eagleseed.com. And also you can find them on Instagram at Eagle Seed Co. #EagleSeedCo. So it's a good way to find them. Brad Dole is going to be a guest on our show next week. I talked with him. He couldn't make it this week. But, you know, when you talk food plots, gentlemen, it's an obsession of mine, kind of like deer hunting, turkey hunting, and smallmouth fishing. It's just something about going out there and bush hogging your fields down, and that's what we're doing right now. We're encouraging all of our listeners, you're getting ready to plant food plots, you need to be bush hogging between now and to whenever you decide to plant. But the earlier you bush hog it down, and it's not a good growing month in July, so your vegetation won't grow as fast. So it's a good time to mow it down there. I'm not telling you to break your dirt right now. I do not like to plant early. I know earlier in the show we said, hey, you plant when you can plant, when there's moisture coming. Pay attention to your weather. And it's great to plant right before rain. But I've come to find out, if you do not have the money in your budget and you plant too early, armyworms will wipe you out. So if you plant early, you better be spraying your food plots, because they will wipe out your food plots. I just wanted to touch on that, Wayne.
Yeah, I would agree. And there are other insects, too, that will do damage to your food plots. So, yeah, I think, you know, spraying some kind of an insecticide is almost a must.
Yeah. I want to say this, too. Another way you can tell and you want to select your food plots, this is the tip that I do, where you want to plant food plots. And, again, we emphasize planting a large one in the middle of your property, planting one to the north, south, east, and west. Get you some bug grits. And take your WiseEye data cams and set them up in all these locations. And with all the data that you collect, it will tell you the amount of deer that's coming to each site. By using buck grits and the WiseEye cameras, it's a true teller. That's written that talk. It's a true sign of where you need to be planting your food plots, the areas that's attracting most of the deer. So that's one of our tips that we do.
Yeah, and Alex, early on you talked about, and I don't think we ever went into real detail, about you know, creating your main food plot and then satellite plots to the north, south, east, and west of that food plot. Kind of explain people the reasoning behind that.
Okay, the reason, again, is when you go to the middle of your property, I don't care if you have 40 acres or you got 1,000 acres. And with 1,000 acres, you got to plant a lot of plots. So you can strategically place these big attractant plots, safety plots, what you want to call it. People call it a different thing. But all food plots are attractant plots. But the purpose of it is, when you create a huge food plot in the middle of your property, you've got water and you've got thick cover there for them to bed. They don't have to travel as far. And what you do is you've created a sanctuary in the middle of your property. They feel safe there. They sleep, eat, and bed, and they will stay. The does will. Usually within 300-400 yards of that location, if there's no pressure in there, if you're not shooting and banging, doing things to scare them out of there. The secret is to pull the does into that middle attractant plot. When you do that, they feel safe, and more does will accumulate there. And the more does that's there, the more urinating that goes on there. Think about it. When the weather gets colder, the days are getting shorter, the testosterone level is getting higher. And if you was a buck, I'm going to explain the situation here, paint a picture for you. If, Wayne, you was a buck or red bone, and you had to smell to find your girlfriend, and if there was 50 does in a big food plot that's urinating every day, every 24 hours, where would you go? Which would be easiest for you to find? Where most of the does are urinating, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So they dump there, they drop their stool there, everything's right there. And that's why we plant it in the middle. Now, the purpose of the satellite plots is you do not want to plant them right on your neighbor's fence. You want to plant them, depending on how much land you got, out of sight where they can't see them. And the idea is, what I usually plant in them is wheat, oats, and something different. You know, I may plant millet in one. I may plant Milo on one. I may plant sunflowers on one. But creating a variety and something as a teaser plot to make them come there, then go into that middle plot to feel safe. And the way you set these farms up and these food plots, you never hunt your food plots with the wind blowing from you to your neighbor's property. Never. You always want to hunt the food plots with the wind blowing back to your property. Think about that. Why would I say that, Wayne?
Because if it's blowing towards your neighbor's property, your neighbor's deer are not going to be coming over to yours.
Especially if you're not scent free.
Right.
You hit the nail on the head. It's pretty much common sense. You want to keep the deer in your property. So if you're hunting with the, keep the deer in your property. So if you're hunting with the wind blowing into your property, those deer, if they wind you, they're going to evade you. If they do want to go out of your property, they're going to go way around you to get off the property. Either that or they're going to stay on the property more than they will leave. So that's the purpose of the satellite food plots, Redbone.
Yeah, and I would assume, too, that if those deer begin to feel a bit uncomfortable in the big food plot, they'll be more comfortable going into those smaller plots as well.
Well, the secret, again, I want to emphasize, and I think you misunderstood it, and respectfully, you do not molest that big food plot. You do not go in there shooting and banging, bothering them.
Right, exactly.
Mainly the satellite food plots over the middle food plot. You only hunt the middle food plot on special occasions. And the wind's got to be right from the data you've collected from the Wise Eye cameras to which way you come in to hunt those locations. Think about that.
Yeah, I understand that. But there are times when those bucks, they don't want to come into that huge food plot. I mean, they're just sometimes they just get a little bit spooky.
If you don't pressure it, if you keep the pressure down, all bucks will come to it. All bucks will come to that area. It's attracting most of the does. And they may not be in sight every time. They may be out, you know, just out of range or whatever. But they come in wind checking to try to find those estrus does. That's the secret of holding deer on your property, is create these type of food plots. And it's worked for me for many years. I won't be afraid to tell you, we see 10 bucks a day when we hunt, sometimes more.
All right, so Alex, we are out of time.
10 bucks a day is in the strategy.
It seems like this show has gone by in a hurry. We are actually out of time. Wayne, tell people where they can find out more.
Well, if you missed any of the show, shame on you. But you can always go and catch the entire show on your favorite podcast carrier. And we are on every single one, so it doesn't matter who you choose. We're going to be on it. Just type in American Roots Outdoors and click subscribe. You'll get every show that we've done for the last 4 years, plus all our upcoming ones. And plus you'll get a bonus segment that can only be heard on the podcast. So if you're just a radio listener, sorry, you're missing out on some more information.
Yes, sir. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening and supporting American Roots Outdoors. Again, we just want to emphasize, this is the time of year to be preparing for your food plots that you're getting ready to plant in August. That's when you decide to plant. I never plant in July. I'm not telling you not to plant in July. I always wait till the third week of August here in southern Missouri. No matter where you're at, you're going to find the best growth time from that period, plumb into early October, second week of October. Thank you again for listening, and remember, share God's creation. Share the outdoors with kids. Tell them about God's creation. Tell them about hunting and fishing. And always remember,
when your roots run deep and strong,
there's no reason to fear the wind.
So you never gotta worry what the wind might do. American Roots.
Thank you for joining us for today's American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge. You can find us on Facebook. Look us up on the World Wide Web at AmericanRootsOutdoors.com. We'll be back again next week on this great radio station.
Amped Outdoors presents American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge and his friends. If you're listening to this, that means you are listening to it on a podcast, because that's the only place you can hear the bonus segment is on the podcast. And if you are a radio listener, welcome to the podcast. One of the things that we had talked about in the last segment, and unfortunately, Alex, he had to get up the phone. We got thunder rain coming in, and he wanted to finish his brush hogging up, so we're going to be doing this with just me and Mike.
But Mike, one of the things you brought up earlier in the radio portion of the show was you were talking about wind direction. And mm-hmm. one of the things we did not get a chance to touch base on is figuring out where to put your plot. And my biggest suggestion I can make to people, and I tell them every single time when they said, where do I put a plot at? I always tell them, you need to pull up a topographical map, a satellite view, whatever you want to do, of your property, put it in front of you, and then look at what is the prevailing winds do on your property.
Exactly.
That's going to really determine where you put your food plot, because you can put your food plot in the best spot that you think in the world, but if you don't have access to get to it like you had talked about earlier, mm-hmm. then what good is it? If you're going to blow a little deer out of there every single time because you only got one way in, it doesn't matter if you put your food plot there or not, you're never going to be able to hunt it.
Right. And of course, in our part of the world, and I'm talking about the Central Ozarks here, our prevailing winds in the fall and winter are out of the north. So, right. you want to put that into your plan as far as where to, and if you got a big farm, where you can really pick and choose exactly where it is optimum. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to get a south wind every once in a while or a wind out of the east or the west, but prevailing wind, fall and winter in the Ozarks is going to be out of the north and out of the northwest. So, anyway. Yeah, great point, Wayne, yeah. and you can figure that out. Do a little research on the internet, get those topo maps, and take a look at it, and also how the wind is going to travel, getting to that food plot, and because if there are lots of hollers and things like that, those winds, they're going to get down in those hollers, and I mean there's a whole science to it, and we're just trying to help right. people make some really good informed decisions, but. Alex touched on something during the radio show, and he said if you really love deer hunting, turkey hunting, planning food plots is kind of an extension of hunting. And for people people that really enjoy the entire process, I mean, food plotting becomes really as important as doing your scouting. And then getting out on opening day and you're getting those tree stands in the right spot. I mean, if people will think about it as the overall experience, it just makes the hunting experience that much more pleasant.
Oh, I agree 100%. And I tell people all the time that are new to food plotting, you are getting ready to play chess.
Yeah.
Because you are now strategizing everything you're doing. Because you're going to try and move the deer from where they're already going, and so you really mm-hmm. got to play. It's like a chess match with the deer now. Am I going to put it here? Do I move my plot over here? Like move my pawn or my rook or and then getting into your plot and playing the winds. I mean, like you said, it's a whole game you're getting ready to play now.
Yeah, and I know we're going to talk about it in future shows because we are doing a 3-part series here. And I think Brad Doyle is going to join us from Eagle Seed, going to join us for one of the programs, maybe next week. And we'll get into, tree stand placement or shooting houses or blind placement around those respective food plots and, where they should be. And I mean, there's so much that can go into it. Now, if you're just a weekend hunter and... You don't have the time or the resources or the equipment to do food plotting. Don't have the resources to pay somebody to come in and do it. Maybe that's not for you. But if you really, really, really enjoy it and want to put everything into it, if you have property or a lease that will allow you to do so, food plots are just a wonderful tool and can become part of the whole experience. You can teach your kids how to do food plots, teach them about agriculture and soil pH and... I mean, there's so much that you can learn and your kids can learn by doing a food plot, no matter how big or small it is.
Yep, I agree 100%. And a lot of people think, oh, I don't have the equipment. I don't have a tractor. I tell you what, I did for 7 years, I put food plots up in Ohio, and I never owned a tractor, had no way to till the grass or the mm-hmm. Fields or anything. But what I did is I used my topo map, my aerial view, line along with the topo map, and I was able to find little openings mm-hmm. in the woods of the properties that I had to hunt, and I just went in there a whole bunch of sweat and a little bit of blood, and was able to get areas cleared out enough for me to, you know, spray down, kill off what the yucky vegetation that was there, and then start putting in, just throwing down with a rake, you know, getting the soil up a little bit, and then just using a rake to work this, the seed in. But I was able to put in some killer small food plots just with that process. You don't have to have big machinery. I mean, people see, they watch some of these shows, Redbone. Mm-hmm. They see like Lee and Tiffany with these, you know, $250,000 tractors, yeah. And they're putting in these massive, you know, 500-acre plots and stuff. Hey, I killed plenty of deer in Ohio and that with my muzzle loader and my bow on a plot that seriously was no bigger than like a Family Dollar store parking lot.
Yeah, well, and,
I mean, because
and even smaller than that. I mean, anything you can do that will attract deer, even if it's just for a couple of days.
Sure,
you can do it. I mean, yeah,
if sunlight hits the ground, you can plant something there.
Exactly. And, you know, you mentioned taking a rake and just breaking the top of that soil. You know, power lines are a good place to do that kind of thing. Maybe you hunt a farm and there's a power line break, or I call them a fire break, that runs through it. And most generally, you know, those folks don't care. Yeah, you want to go in there and rake that up and put a food plot? That's a great place for a food plot.
Right. Yep. And if you do, if you want to create a bigger opening, that just... I cannot iterate this enough. Please ask permission to cut a tree down.
Oh, absolutely.
Before you do it.
Yes.
You know, if it's not your property, don't do it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Make sure you bring the guy out there and say, hey, what, you know, what kind of trees do you want to, you want me to not touch and stuff like that. So people can make that mistake to be like, hey, you know, I'm going to make this a little bigger. I'll just bring my chainsaw in next time. Well, you know, you may lose your permission to hunt that
property.
Yeah,
make sure it's okay. And it's where the power line goes through, make sure the tree's not tall enough to hit that power line, too, because then everybody in that sector.
Speaking of power line, I did see something funny about 2 weeks ago on Facebook, and a guy had pictures of his tree stand that he'd been hunting for years, and he had pictures of these great bucks that he'd been shooting out of there, and then he took a picture of it when he went to go check on his stand this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the power company came through with the helicopter and one of those chainsaw things. And all his limbs that, now it didn't hit his tree stand, but all the limbs that were in front of his tree that he had for cover were gone.
Oh boy.
It was just him sitting in his stand sticking out like a sore thumb. And I thought that was funny.
Well, that'll happen.
You know? He said he never cut this thing in 10 years. He goes, now of all times.
Yeah.
He finally had a buck that he was after that he thought this was going to be the year, and now he has to redo the entire plan again.
Yeah. Anyway, folks, you know, go back on the podcast here. I know you're listening to the podcast now, and if you didn't catch the radio show portion of the program, a lot of good information on there about choosing your sites for your food plots. You know, maybe, you know, and I'm sure there are people out there that say, I've done food plots, I've never had any success. Well, maybe, you know, you need to recheck that pH balance. Maybe you need to change fertilizers. Maybe you just need to change locations altogether. And, you know, don't give up on the process. And, Wayne, we are out of time.
Yep. Boy, time flies fast. I'm telling you.
It does.
But, yeah, I agree 100%. You know, read, look at what you're doing. If you're not having success, there's probably a very simple reason behind it. Like you said, could be just need fertilizer. You need lime. Lime is probably one of the most overlooked things putting plots in that in. But to make sure everybody, you guys, tune into us next week, because next week we're going to have Brad Doyle on. We're going to be talking about what you want to put in to your plots now that you have them ready for seed. And like we say here at American Roots,
when your roots run deep and strong,
there is no reason to fear the wind.
Sitting still till it's time to shoot. American Roots. Take it to a holler. Take it to a fear.